This is a HeadGum Podcast.
My next guests are a Grammy-nominated group whose newest CD has just been certified gold. It's called Free at Last, and it spent 33 consecutive weeks at the top of the Billboard Contemporary Christian charts, performing a remake of the Doobie Brothers classic, Jesus Just All Right, DC Talk.
That was everyone's favorite Tonight Show host, Jay Leno, which reminds me of another Tonight Show host famously introducing another band on the show a couple decades prior, which brings me to the following theory. DC Talk is the Beatles of Christian music. So let's backtrack it. Toby McKeon and Michael Tate began their musical collaboration shortly after meeting at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University back in the 80s. And it should be noted that Toby's nickname at the time was DC Talk, because he was from Washington, D.C. When Kevin Max Smith joined the boys, they called themselves DC Talk and the One Way Crew, but ultimately simplified back to DC Talk, which they redefined as Decent Christian Talk in a masterstroke of branding. Their self-titled debut and sophomore follow-up New Thing did well enough for the band. Their third album was Free at Last, and using the Beatles lens here, this was their Help, the album that was a version of everything they had done before, but the best possible version of it, fusing together rap, rock, and soul in a manner that was a joyful noise to the Lord. If the BC Boys were cool church camp counselors, they'd be DC Talk. The album blew up, went platinum, and it would pave the way for their next two smash hit records, Jesus Freak and Supernatural. So, okay, let me make my Beatles case now. Both bands brought together very different personalities. Both bands were incredibly influential in their field and spawned many copycats for many years. Both bands were officially active for a relatively short amount of time, the Beatles for 8 years, DC Talk for 9, and both started in one genre and ended pretty much in another entirely. If DC Talk started as Run DMC for G.O.D., they definitely concluded somewhere in the space between Nirvana and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And which member is which? I don't know. Kevin is John, Toby's Paul, or maybe they're all Ringo. But in the 90s, the contemporary Christian music world was still small enough that this biracial rap rock group with just five albums to their name would be cited as the most popular Christian band of all time. The catch is, it was probably one of the greatest ones too at the time. That's where the Beatles of it all comes into view. For a moment in time, in the view of most everyone in the CCM world, DC Talk occupied the ultra-rare intersection of the biggest and the best. If Christian music up to this point was a stuffy suit, DC Talk was a group of nice young boys here to unbutton the top button, maybe the top two. So we listened to the album Free at Last, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. I can't believe we make people do this. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have a little good Christian fun.
Fun
bonus.
What?
Hey, any fun's a bonus in this world, am I right?
That's true. In this economy?
Caroline, how's your heart?
My heart is good. My heart is jet lagged.
Okay.
I was in the City of Lights last week, and it was great.
I thought LA was the city of... City of Angels is LA.
City of Angels, yeah.
Okay.
Paris is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, my aunt used to...
The Big P.
The Big P.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite Laura Linney Showtime show. The Big P. All right, so you're jet lagged.
Yeah.
Feeling okay.
I also got my car towed today, well, over the weekend while we were gone.
Sad.
But other than that, I'm actually doing pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm here with my friends.
A friend. Friend and guest.
Yeah.
Let's not jump
to... friends? Right?
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Well, let's not jump to conclusions.
See, I knew it.
Okay.
How's your heart, Kevin?
My heart's pretty good. This is one of the. This is our third episode, or fourth, depending on you count it. And we have some reception now to what we've done. This is the first one. We're not recording like in a total vacuum.
All right.
Of things, and everyone's been very, very nice and very sweet and encouraging. So
it's been very helpful.
My heart's good. It's been helpful.
Yeah.
In terms of like telling you what to say and what not to say.
Just building up my old ego.
Yeah, good. No. It's good for that. Guys, comment sections. Read them. Read all of them. They're good. They're good for that. But my heart's very good.
Good.
Because we have a very special guest
for
a very special topic. DC Talk is in the house.
Doing
Toby,
it.
Michael, Kevin.
The boys.
They're back in town. No, they're not back in town. But we have maybe an even better guest than that. Certainly someone equally as musically talented. So let's introduce him right now. Oh, yeah. A lot of suspense. Guys, you may know his comedy from Vine or YouTube or Twitter. Vine. You may know him from the Richard Dreyfuss album or the Wii Sports music. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Gabe Gundecker!
Hello, it's me.
Who is it?
And I'm here to
do
sing
what?
Your
talk to the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand up and sing. Well, don't get hallelujah, sing your praise to the Lord. Yo, get, come on.
From your God,
sweet arms.
Sing.
Hey.
And that's the whole song.
That's
that was it. It'd be amazing if it actually did truly fade out.
Welcome,
Amy Grant
Gabe.
Was very experimental.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Good.
I'm glad that I, you know, had an excuse to listen to that DC Talk album for the first time.
Did it? Do you feel like you're changed?
It was, I can already tell it's going to be formative.
Formative at this age.
Ooh, do you think it's going to influence your music?
I think that I will go back and listen to it.
Wow.
Maybe in a genuine context.
Wow.
Maybe, you know, experimental, but I was really sort of fascinated by it.
Yeah,
it's something. It's a lot. Well, Gabe, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Let's start, because this is going to be a process. Let's start with your faith background, or lack of faith background. How'd you grow up? What's your relationship to the Lord?
I grew up that's a great question. I grew up in Winter Park, Florida, going to a little Lutheran church we just got a red neon sign, like, I guess 5 years ago. That was a big...
Sexy.
Interesting that you still call it we.
Ah, yes. They don't know that I'm agnostic yet.
Wait, what does the red neon sign even say?
It says, like, Sunday church on Sunday. It's...
What?
You know, like, you might see them outside of a liquor store.
Yeah. Yeah, or it says, like, open.
Is that just how it goes in Florida?
I guess it's technically LED.
Oh.
It's one of those LED signs.
That's
But it's
fancy.
Only red, which is not a good color, not a nice color.
No.
Devil's color.
Red neon always makes me think of, like... an adult bookstore.
Girls.
Right.
Girls. Yeah.
Books. Mm-hmm. Girls. You wouldn't think Lutherans. But that's the case.
It's actually kind of brilliantly countercultural in that respect.
Exactly.
Though. Yeah.
So you're at this little Lutheran church.
I was there, and I would go every Sunday, you know, and I would... What would we do? I would write in the thing during the sermon. I was given a little I was giving like a coloring pamphlet.
Very nice.
Oh, that's something that does happen in church, because oftentimes there'll be like little discussion card. I don't even know what to call it, or like study cards to follow along with the sermon.
Notes.
I remember those growing up, where it would be like when the pastor says, God wants your blank, and it's like heart or something. I guess we all just saw
mother. See if you were paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, and then everyone would
Did you have like a kid's version of the notes that had special coloring sections?
We straight up had a coloring book. Yeah, so we'd go up for the kids. There was some, all the kids would come and they'd sing one of the kids-centric Jesus songs. Mm-hmm. Jesus Love You actually was the intro to going up there. Jesus Love You. And then he would do some sort of bit where he would, you know, it was like, give us candy or something.
Jesus win?
Wow. Yeah, he was really Jesus trying was to win there. You guys over.
Yeah, but, you know, we didn't fall for it. And, you know, Pastor Nixon would be up there and he'd make some metaphor with candy, you know, and then we'd get a piece of candy and then we'd believe in God. And then we went back to our seats and there would be a coloring book and we could color during the sermon. And the sermons were always exhausting, you know.
Your church sounds like the church equivalent of a white van. Like a guy telling you, like, we got candy in here and puppies. Come on
out. Pastor Nixon was really cool. He drove a VW bug.
Did he really?
He sure did.
VW. I used to want to drive a VW bug. I no longer do. I just wanted to update you guys. Oh, continue.
Did you get confirmed in the Lutheran
That's
Church?
That's actually interesting, because that is when I lost my face with my confirmation.
No way.
A couple days before, it was this question. So Pastor Plumley, a lot of name drops here.
She Plumley and Nixon.
She said,
heard of him.
Jesus had been around, and she's great, by the way. Still a family friend.
Yeah.
She says Jesus, or God had been around forever. And I said, well, I don't understand. You know, what do you mean? How do you know that? How could you possibly know that?
Fair question.
And she goes, that's actually a great question. It's good to ask questions. And I was like, but you didn't answer my question. You didn't answer it. And she was like, that's great. You really get it. Yeah, well, that was her answer to that. And then I think she saw it as, she was really proud of me for doing that, not realizing that that was the moment where I was first like, wait a second.
Do you not know?
And then I was confirmed a couple days later. But of course, that's also the fallacy of any belief, is we don't know how it begins. So it's strange. But I guess that's the first time I sort of started to question.
That kind of noodled into your brain of like, do I have to?
But I still go Easter. I still go Christmas. Oh, you know, my family is still very religious.
You're like a pumpkin spice latte at church.
Well, seasonal. Explain. Okay, yes.
Right. Not basic. That's not what I was getting at. But yeah,
really
just
sweet.
too sweet. Just
branded,
sweet.
Yes.
But that is so funny, because I do feel like the questions you have as a young child, if they're not addressed in like the most like holistic way or responsible
or at least
way,
like mildly satisfying, you
right,
know?
Then they stick with you. Because I remember growing up in like, when I was like 11 or 12, and I would ask, because I kind of went to a private Christian school for a little bit in the midst of homeschooling. It was a weird like hybrid situation.
Oh, yeah.
I remember asking our teachers, like, you know, I was asking them about predestination, which is a little God-splaining. It's this idea of like, some people are predestined for heaven and some people are predestined for hell. And that's just the way that,
because
really, God is, you know, all-knowing. So it's like, oh, he knew before you were born. Hell, heaven, hell, you know.
Yeah, just like, and then like the people that are destined for hell are like an example of God's judgment or something. Mm-hmm. Like they...
A vessel of wrath is how the Bible would put it.
That would be Calvinism, right? Yes.
Yeah, but those terms are not exclusive to Calvinism.
Okay. Yeah.
We're,
right.
We're going down too deep.
Anyway,
in the hall.
So you're
I'm tracking.
No, but
it's
it is
a big argument.
Well, it's just one of those. Like, I was just this dumb little 11-year-old. I was like, what does it mean to be Or I remember I would ask people
your
at the school.
Your poor teacher must have just been like, oh god,
shut up. Like, and they did. They had to bring a pastor in to kind of like explain stuff. Or I remember asking other kids, like, do you believe in the one? Like, there's one person set apart from you that you'll be with forever.
And they said, not for you, Kevin.
Yep. And they were right. They were absolutely right.
TBD.
But Kevinism.
It is a form of Kevinism, yes. Is what I'm describing.
Kevinism.
Okay, so that's where you were, and now you'd probably identify as like an agnostic.
I do identify as an agnostic.
Okay.
That's, yes.
Yeah.
Fair. All right, we can put you in that box.
Thing, but I don't know.
A Carl Sagnostic.
Well, agnosticism...
Not a Ricky Gervais.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Wait, Carl...
like...
Sagan?
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear the sound.
Carl Sagan.
Oh, yeah, the universe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Agnosticism, I really connect to, I guess, a lot more than atheism, generally, because it is still full of wonder and possibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not dogging on atheism, but just for me personally, I do connect with that.
Yeah, there's still a part of you that feels that.
There's still curiosity there where it's like, maybe I'm wrong, and that is exciting.
Yeah.
Which is still the view I currently have.
That's exciting.
Maybe I'm wrong, and it's still exciting.
Yay.
But guys, our topic today is that of DC talk. Decent Christian talk, apparently. Not Washington, D.C. talk. It was just
Decent
Toby's
Christian
name, because he's
talk.
Like, yeah, I'm from Washington, D.C.
I mean, he just kind of reworked it.
His nickname, by the way, I was looking into this, his nickname before DC Talk was Caucasian Talk, because he's a white rapper.
Also, his other nickname is
Caucasian.
Goatee.
Oh, yeah, Goatee.
And so he started Goatee Records, which he does not record under, but
right.
He owns.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense to me.
Oh, that kind of bummed me out.
You can't pay yourself.
You got to stand by Goatee Records, though.
I mean, I think he does in other ways. He's, well, we'll get into it, but DC Talk, Gabe, did you have any like exposure at all to, not even necessarily like the hymns or whatever you would sing in church, but outside of that, Christian music at all?
You know, Z88.3 was a local station.
Mm-hmm. Was that a fish?
Z88.3. No, it was a rainbow.
Okay.
And it was, the
progressive.
safe for the little ears was their slogan. safe for the little ears, which...
That could mean a lot.
Any, my ears are small, yeah, and there will always be small, so always safe for me.
So okay, great to the end of time.
That's
great.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
it's sort of not safe for the big ears is I don't think.
Is the
so
alternate.
Barack part. Obama yeah. turns and he's like, well, can't listen to this.
Yeah, not safe.
Ouch.
Ooh, I guess, you know, VeggieTales is probably as close as it got. I mean, we had that soundtrack. I would listen to that soundtrack quite a bit.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We loved
silly songs.
Loved VeggieTales.
Good mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
Cheeseburger.
And with lessons, too.
Yeah.
Funny mm-hmm. stuff with lessons
really
is
makes
what we're
you
aiming
think.
For.
That's our other
fun.
Tagline.
Did you see that?
Not safe for little ears is for us.
Yeah. Not safe for little ears?
I don't think so.
You did address our listeners as little bitches in the
I
first
did,
episode.
And I heard that a child did hear that.
Oh, that is true.
And
shouts
that's now
out
their
to
favorite
Heather's
word.
Kids. Yeah.
Heather, I'm so sorry.
Is this podcast safe for little bitches?
I think it's safe for little bitches. Yeah, I would rank it as that. That is a classification on iTunes.
NSLB.
NSLB, yeah. What were you saying about VeggieTales?
Listen
did,
to the album.
Did you see...
Oh, I was just did you see on September 11th they posted image of mm-hmm. like VeggieTales remember September 11th and then
Are
they had Larry
me?
The tomato and
yeah, Bob the cucumber
or as Larry the cucumber.
Cucumber Bob the tomato, but they were smiling.
They were smiling in like in front of the in New York, I think.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they
no,
did that.
We Caroline, we retweeted
I thought, like, it. We did. Oh,
and
that's right. I was just wondering if they're going to put Larry
two
like,
Larrys next to each other.
No, or like they, Bob no. is one and a half.
Bob the Pentagon.
Bob the little terrorist.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I mean, listen. Well, to their credit, I did look back on the retweet. They deleted it. So someone
well,
said
good.
It's tone deaf. VeggieTales is an interesting story we can get into
yeah.
at a later date.
So you didn't have a relationship with the DC Talk before today.
My first introduction. No, I do actually have a
oh,
relationship.
Oh, you do?
But
okay.
only... through, I guess, like E-Bomb's world, seeing that little boy do that performance
oh,
of New Thing.
We're talking about New Thing.
Out of breath, wearing MC Hammer pants.
Stuttering.
Stuttering, terrified, and just an amazing, amazing video.
But a performer.
Doing both parts, doing all the parts.
Selling it.
Yeah, selling it.
Oh,
to
so
a,
proud
to
of
a
him.
Karaoke track that I don't believe is actually the New Thing.
He gets off. He gets pretty far off the
right.
track.
I mean, and to be clear, this is a take on this is the title track from New Thing, their second album. And this must have been in the 80s. Well, no, it was in the 90s because the album came out. 90
By the way,
91.
We should note this is just part one on DC Talk, so we're not going to get into the full.
There's going to be many further discussions, but
yeah.
just for a little context, because I did see Thomas Middleditch posted a New Thing thing. I was like,
oh,
he did not grow up on DC Talk, but this video was viral.
This video is huge. Yeah,
this video is a lot of people's, I think, gateway into the band.
Christian
boys
music.
And girls, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives us new life. And he's doing a new thing for us.
Okay, this kid.
Balloons.
I mean.
You get always donut. Always doing a new thing. You get always donut.
Swivel, full swivel.
Yeah, like that lurch.
I mean, this kid is like Stranger Things level charming. I find.
Doing a new thing. You get always donut. Yo, who's doing it?
Put him in the next it. Let's do it.
My God is doing a brand new thing. Since time began, he remains the same. Faithful, committed to his
All
word.
Right.
And
we can get into this later. I will say that the description on YouTube says, Michael Clancy is the name of the rapper. He is now an attorney and can be found on Twitter at Law for the Masses.
No way.
So this kid grew up and he's a lawyer and he's probably doing great.
What would have been a better name? Law for the new things.
Law for the new thing. New law.
New
in you law.
New thing law.
Yeah, new thing law.
Whatever.
So, did you have a connection to DC Talk growing up, Caroline?
I knew. I of course knew the name.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know Jesus Freak, but a lot of this stuff, like, I didn't realize they went back to the 90s. I thought they were like a 2000s band, if anything.
No, they never made an album in the 2000s.
Yeah, so I knew of them, but I wasn't like super into DC Talk. I wasn't a DC head.
Not DC head. I don't know. I don't think they had a name for their fans.
Talking Heads.
The talking Heads. Yeah. It was very confusing.
The Decent Christians.
Low search engine optimization. The Decent Christians. I remember in our house we had Jesus Freak, which was their album after this one, which was the huge multi-platinum smash hit. And Supernatural. My brother had those growing up because they were, like, sound-wise, pretty accessible. All in all.
Oh, yeah.
This album, we did not have. So all the songs I knew from this before listening to it this past week were from Greatest Hits compilations.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, Jesus Is Just All Right.
So you didn't know how much funk they had.
Wow. No, I did not. I absolutely did not. So I think we should probably dive in,
let's
right?
Let's hop on in.
Let's dive in. Come on, let's go. Okay.
Good.
Let's talk about
good one.
The album is Free at Last. Should we just start with the first track?
Take this mark for a ride.
Down with the DC Talk. Down with the DC Talk. So this, I think, was on like one of the greatest hits I had growing up. So I remember it from that.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling out my big black book. Because when I need a word to find. Here's my first question. Objectively, is Toby Mac better, worse, or on the same level as Vanilla Ice?
I'm gonna say he's a better rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But
a worse person?
Vanilla Ice is famous for being a great person. Those houses.
I guess on the whole, he's better.
I was listening to them side by side. I wanted to be very fair, and I feel like I do enjoy his raps, his flows, even though he does rhyme flow with Drano in this song. I think actually coming up pretty quick.
He rhymes something with Great Commission.
Oh, yeah, in this song. I believe.
That's not a rhyme. Anyway. Submishing. I thought he was more inspired by Eminem, if anything. Because you know when I'm
flowing like a bottle of Drano. That's it.
Yep. Yeah.
Explain-o and Drano.
Okay, there's an earlier lyric in this song.
Uh-huh.
It's in the opening, what would you call it, stanza?
Yeah, I would call it that.
He said he's looking up from his Bible and...
Pulling out my big black book.
My big black book.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says... He's talking about, like, the word love that he's reading. And he says he looks up and saw a big V.
Yeah.
Which was the lyric.
Yeah. Right. What did you...
What do you think when you think...
Well, the lyric is, pulling out my big black book, because when I need a word to find, that's where I look.
Oh, wait.
Wait, so...
So is it a dictionary?
I mean, it might be. I mean, Bibles came in many shades at this point in time. So it wasn't just... A black book. I mean, although when I think black book, I think numbers of ladies, right?
Oh.
So maybe it's a girl named Veronica that he loves.
Beyond the like obvious connotations,
sure.
I couldn't even understand what that meant. Like, was he reading L-U and then saw V in front of him? And what would the V symbolize?
The V is verb.
Verb?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not just
a noun.
Oh,
love is a verb. Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did that track for you?
No. pulling out my big black book.
Yeah.
He must have known what he was doing there.
I don't know if he did. Here's the thing about DC Talk is, at least in my estimation, I don't think they're cool. I don't think they're cool at all. But in that like profound lack of cool, I think they almost flip over themselves and become cool again.
Because, you think they're like admirably naive, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a modicum of irony or insincere in all the. I watched the movie Free at Last, which was unproduced until they put it out with the album. I watched all the music videos, the interviews around this time, the lyrics. Like, they are selling it so much. And not in a detached way, And especially in the way irony became such a currency in the 90s and the late 90s, they're like, they're into this. Like, Toby Mac.
They're 100% in. This is serious.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about.
So I feel like they do loop around and become oddly admirable in their just complete commitment to what they're saying again.
That's nice.
Now, the value of what they're saying, TBD. I found Love is the Verb to be one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Was the guy in the beginning Jimmy Stewart?
I thought it was the millionaire from Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Let's listen to it again.
Take this mark for a ride.
Oh, yeah.
What does he say?
Take this mark for a ride.
Take this man
take
for
this
a ride.
Take this mofo for a ride.
No, take this man oh. for
And they're going to, and then they do. They take us for a ride.
They do.
What did you think of this song?
You know, Down with the DC Talk was one where I was like, I'm ready to skip. I'm ready to get to the next one.
Oh, no.
I think, you know, There are some songs to come that I was really impressed by the sort of
the flows.
No, not the flows. The actual production.
Okay,
and some of the chord changes were actually pretty interesting, I think.
Well, this is where your perspective is going to be especially valuable because you're much more of a musician than Caroline or myself, and it's hard to divorce the enjoyment of music from like just a technical. Was this good at the time? like it's going to be hard to assess. You know, for a 15-year-old 10 years from now, like, oh, this song came out in 2017, The Chainsmokers. Was it good? I don't know. Like, it's so hard to, like, recontest. Was this so derivative of other people at the time that it's not original? I literally can't tell. I don't know.
Yeah, because we weren't really there.
No.
There is, I think there's a lot of derivative elements, obviously, of, it reminds me of that Paula, what's her name song? A lot of their music reminds me
Abdul?
Of Abdul? Yeah, It Takes Two, the way she raps with the cat.
Oh, MC Scat Cat.
Yeah, MC Scat Cat.
Yeah.
So she raps with that cat. A lot of the songs on this kind of sound like that. Mm-hmm. But then they have
kind of
a track
like sweet rap.
They have a track later on that is like an old beat. I don't know. It sounds like they're doing for like a Tribe Called Quest kind of thing. And it's like wow, look at these guys go.
These guys.
What is it? Jesus Is Just All Right.
It's like a 40-second track. Or is it the bottom here?
Hey, yo, yo, T.
Yes.
This one.
Why don't you tell them that story about how you went back in the day on the
this got you grooving.
Listen to this.
Yo, tell them that story, man.
We're gonna go back to the basics of the hip-hop scene. Just a loop and some lyrics and a mic, you know what I mean?
This is pretty fun.
I mean, what is this genre of rap generally called? Because they all just, they sound like they're all having a good time. You know what I mean? There's like a buoyancy to it that you don't hear as much
now. My name is Mike and I'm here to say, I'm here to rap
it's a rippity
in a fun
rap.
Way.
Yeah.
I think this is clearly like they're just doing a Tribe Called Quest sort of... But it's not parody. It's just like they're just trying to do that genre.
Right.
And they do it really well. But that song is actually not very religious. That one is kind of just like a break from it all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that's sort of the same thing is a lot of them leave religion for a while. And then they like if it's just about love or it's about being good.
They kind of boomerang.
How did that make you feel about it? Did you feel like you're being hoodwinked or was it like...
Oh. A lot of the times that is how it feels. It feels like... Yeah, because you're grooving to a song, and then all of a sudden it's like, and you have to believe in God, you know, to keep going.
You have that bridge where they say, "Yeah,
and you'll
keep
go.
Listening if you want to go to heaven,
right? Go to hell if you smell."
And that's the problem with so much of this stuff. Is it's like having a nice conversation with a friend of yours that might have a gun under the table. Where it's like, oh, this is great. We're really connecting and having fun.
Right, but they came here to talk about a beef they have.
By the way.
It's like, hey.
And they're switching topics. I think...
Or you could look at it from the flip side of like, I came here for a Christian band and I'm getting more than I even asked for.
Which I think
and
is
I appreciate
the
it.
Optimistic view of a lot of people
who
are listening to this stuff. Because it was
they
truly...
They knew what they were getting.
And this kind of made rap... This was probably the first rap ever to be on Christian radio.
There is a
was
song.
Was not until 1992.
Wasn't there a song on their first album or the second one that's just called I Love Rap?
Oh, you're talking about I Love Rap Music. I always have and I always will.
That felt like, I'm sure for them, that felt like a tectonic shift to say that.
Oh, yeah.
In where they came from, because they came from a pretty conservative background.
I mean, they met so at Liberty University. Jerry Falwell's
yes.
university. Which
Donald Trump's first...
right.
address to a collegiate crowd was there.
Which is so interesting. So I assumed, and they are a pretty conservative band, even like the individual members to this day.
Yeah, I didn't realize how conservative they were.
Michael Tate, who is the African-American member of the band, did endorse Ted Cruz explicitly last year. And but they do, so there's this documentary called Free at Last, and they do wrestle with their upbringing and the fact that they were raised, or that they met, and their origin is so tied into Liberty University, because Liberty University is so like strict with, you can't drink at Liberty University, you can't do that, like you can't listen to a certain kind of music, and then that's where they're from, so it feels very odd. Does
Liberty University try to like really own them, like we're the University of D.C. talk, you heard them? You know how universities brag about like,
where
the famous
like,
people?
Oh, by the way, you know who came here was LBJ or whoever the case may be.
Right.
I
don't know.
I don't think it has as much cultural cachet now as it maybe once did. But let's turn our attentions to the second track on the album, which is maybe a subgenre of Christian music called This Is How Girls Should Be.
Oh, God. This song.
The other night I met a girl and she looked at me so nice. I asked her for the digits and she didn't think twice. A couple of days later, called her up and asked her out. She said, with you? I said, with me. And then she said, without a doubt. I took her to the garden where I guess they grow the olives. She wore a tighter skirt than any I had seen in college. She said, I love to smoke and drink while cursing like a sailor. I asked her where she got her mouth and if she had a tailor. Finally, I walked her to the door to say goodnight. She said, I am an apple. Would you care to take a bite? Politely, I refused and said, I'm looking for a lady. So she slapped me in my face and said,
boy, you must be crazy.
See, this is very nice.
I love the melody. I love it. Yeah. It's actually the rap that's troubling on this one.
Oh my gosh.
Not in a technical sense, but what he's saying.
This song made me so viscerally mad.
So
listening to it,
what's interesting about this is most rap music was doing this exact same song, but to an entirely different degree. They weren't like, she wanted a kiss, and I did, and like that's not the evil thing, is that she just wanted a kiss. Right. You know,
it is in this song,
but in this one it is exactly. It's like they're totally. It's like,
I think they were trying to overcorrect what a lot of hip hop does, which is like really objectify women and only talk about having sex with them or whatever. And they're like, we're going to do
there's
a Christian version
there's
of that.
A section
and they go
of the song
horribly in the other direction.
Where they just sing over and over again, respect women. I believe that's one of the
you know what's cool? Respecting women.
Respecting women.
And yet they basically call this woman a whore.
Yeah, this is a lot of Proverbs 31 stuff. Here,
yes,
here we go.
It mentions that.
God laid it on my heart to search for this.
Okay.
So I open up the word to the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter tells me all about her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she ain't playing.
She ain't playing.
Because I'm saying it clearly. She's the kind of girl I got to have in me.
Okay.
Kind of girl.
Let's break down the crimes that this girl committed.
Okay.
Okay.
So she said.
She said, I like drinking, cussing like a sailor.
After he took her to the Garden of Olives, which does ask the question, was this the first branded content in contemporary Christian music?
And she was wearing too tight of a skirt and she wanted a little smooch at the end of the date.
She is like an apple, or she is literally an apple.
All right.
Yeah,
I think she sounds
was that
fun.
Because of her. No, because she.
No, I think that just meant like. I don't know.
Adam and Eve.
Right.
Yes.
Oh,
but
probably. Which
see,
is,
this is a, this is just like Mother, man. It's like you can't track the allegory one for one as much as you want
to. I think she was just
to.
Trying to get out of this Olive Garden date.
Do you think she literally said, let's go eat some apples instead?
He's like,
I don't care about your breadsticks.
I know what that one
no,
is.
No, ma'am.
I heard that trick before.
I took her to the garden where I guess they grow olives. Then she said, I love to smoke and drink while cursing like a sailor.
She sounds fun.
Is that the rhyme?
Yep. I asked her where she got her mouth and if she had a tailor. So the guy says, why are you talking like that? Also, can you get your skirt fixed?
Yeah.
It's a little uneven.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So she said, she says, I am an apple. Would you care to take a bite?
Mm-hmm. She's the apple.
Yeah, she is the apple. I heard, I have an apple. But she says, I am an apple.
Sort of like a preface to VeggieTales, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
she's,
fruity.
She's
tales.
Literally an apple.
Yeah, 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 fun apple. Yeah, and that apple in VeggieTales was a hoe. So
wait, was there a hoe apple in VeggieTales?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Madame Blueberry.
Yeah, Madame Blueberry,
the hoe apple.
The hoe apple.
Way too
in VeggieTales. I'm so sorry I forgot about that.
Okay, and so then in the second part of the song, in contrast, he talks about this his ideal girl who's behind the church doors. He says she's virtuous in every way.
And she looks like my mother.
She just like my mommy. She hugs me. She puts me in bed.
Which is a another running theme. In Christian music, there's a song called Barlow Girl by Superchick.
Oh, yeah.
And the refrain is, all the band boys in the band want a Valentine from a Barlow girl. Boys think they're the bomb because they remind them of their mom. Oh, so there is this prevalent theme of date your mommy.
date your mommy, date your daddy.
You want to date your mommy. You want to date your daddy.
Have you guys ever heard the whore Madonna complex?
Sure.
What that is?
Yeah.
Because that's what this is. It's like that... I'm going to butcher this, of course, but the idea that for like, it's a kind of misogyny where you only classify women as like whores or Madonna. So like really slutty, like you're going to be my downfall. You're trying to trick me, you're trying to deceive me. And then there's like this really virtuous woman who's like not really desirable maybe, mm-hmm. but is like this holy and it's, you know, also sure. a mother type figure. And so this is like, it so fell into that. It's almost like shocking of like, really, guys? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
It's pretty binary. Pretty binary.
It's awful. Yeah. So that's why I was really, really mad.
And this is it. This is the music you hear in your head when you're so mad. I mean, I don't know what else. We could break down the Proverbs 31 stuff. We're going to find that a lot.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in the Bible, Proverbs 31, that describes like the positive qualities of a woman.
And a lot of people take it as like, this is the ideal woman.
Yeah.
And really like to throw it at women as like all these kind of...
Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain.
But a woman who pleases the Lord...
Should be praised.
Should be praised, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of it. So he's like infusing, I don't want a cussing sailor drinking lady. I want a P31 girl. And that became, I remember that was a big thing in youth group and stuff. It's like, be you a want Proverbs a girl that, yeah, yeah, to the women, be, and that was pretty much it in terms of models, even more so than like this lady
yeah.
in the Bible.
Well, and a lot of them, it got problematic too, because a lot of the time it was like, this woman is only within the context of like a wife or a mother.
Yeah, and which then, is
like,
really hard.
More liberal Christians would be like, well, she goes to work and she's like a career woman too, mm-hmm. so it's okay.
It's hard that they're, most of the verses addressed explicitly to women in the Bible are about how to
their,
be
like,
a good
relationship
wife.
To yeah. their men yeah, or children.
Yeah, it's all, yeah. it doesn't quite pass the Bechdel test, I guess is what I'm saying. Mm.
The Bible does not.
Right.
Shock.
Here we go.
Oh, this part is cool. I'm sorry. I just think
I'm
the
so
music
mad at you.
No,
the music is cool.
Is this where you scream?
Do you think it'd be cool if they're like, Hitler's number one and we love him? And
the music would the music would still be cool.
There's nuance.
If you entirely detach it from the lyrics, I would of course say that Hitler lyric is wretched, wretched,
it's
wretched,
objectionable.
Where does he think it's sing about respect?
He says respect in this.
I just, when I hear music like this and I hear this sort of interesting sort of, the design of it is really good. I just think, you know, this sounds like the Isley Brothers, what they do right there. Mm-hmm. Why are they, why did they choose to limit themselves to Christian music and
well,
or was it a choice?
This, see, and I guess we'll never truly know the truth of this. But I feel like bands, especially bands where it's like, wait, we're all Christians? Like U2. U2 is three quarters Christian in the band. So there's this crossroads.
Hello.
Fork in the road. Where you can say, okay, we're going to do this market, which is much smaller, and we can be a huge fish in a little pond.
Yeah.
Or try to be the biggest band ever to everybody.
Right. And of course, they wouldn't like explicitly say these are commercial goals. And I think for most of them, it wouldn't be. But
sure, but I mean, DC
it can
talk
be a strategy.
I'm sure thing. There's no way we would be talking about them right now. They were like,
they were just like, a
if
band.
They were just, yeah, like a hit three hip hop guys. Yeah. And but if you do if you bring quality to that space, everyone worship, not worships you, obviously.
Yeah, but
just
it
like,
does like, whoa, they're like,
we can do that. Mm-hmm. Like,
or it feels like dipping your toe in like mainstream culture, which you would like to, but is maybe not safe because sometimes the messages aren't good. And so like we get to have our own version where we still get to feel like fun, but
it's
about
safer,
something that's more important to us.
I think,
you know,
and especially if you grow up in the church and stuff, it feels like a safer bet if you have experience with gospel music and
yes.
stuff. So
my sister called me earlier today to ask, cause her 4-year-old daughter is doing a hip hop class
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to show them a hip hop dance. And so my sister called me to ask if there was like a clean hip hop artist that she could play so mm-hmm. she could dance for them, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah.
So I told her Lecrae.
Lecrae? Yeah. Lecrae. People like Lecrae. I don't have any,
but I think that's like, that's a huge part of this following too, is like families or things like that that want their kids to like enjoy rock music or whatever, but like here's something that I know won't like infect your mind with like
sure
I mean except drugs,
except for, which is so interesting because that song is incredibly, the message is
awful.
Not good,
but a huge amount
tough.
Of Christians would be like amen, love right. it yeah.
And that's what I think that's something Caroline and I and other people, I think peers of ours, have had to untangle for the last however many years.
Totally.
Is the idea that because there is this kind of bubble of safety that does exist. See, they played this on Christian, they're Christian artists. Like mom and dad can drop you off at the concert and then see you at midnight and not have to worry about it, mm-hmm. right? Because they're not going to be smoking weed in the pit or whatever. But the ideas can be profusely more offensive and insidious and poisonous, even if the overall like surface level sheen,
because they sound good.
Yeah. So this can encourage in young men and probably young women too, like some deeply regressive views on gender roles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
and
they
I
don't
was
swear.
One of those girls at some point that was like, yeah, I don't want to be the one in the short skirt and that's all you want from me. Like, I want to be at church and you'll come find me there. And like, that's dating.
Wait, you did aspire to that.
Oh, yeah. Point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how you got your husband, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, we did both.
You met a community
church,
group.
So it's not fair. But yeah. How did you guys feel like hearing that? Like, I'm, of course, very mad. But what did you think when you heard that like message?
There's this song by Tribe Called Quest called Butter, and it's sort of the exact same message. He talks about a girl. Well, what he talks about is a girl who, why do you want to look good? You know, why you try wear so much makeup? I don't care about that stuff. It's stupid. and so like, yes, you do. You know, this is like, you're just finding any reason to hate on a girl.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that and I knew this was from the early 90s, it was like, well, this is just the reality of this. Even though this is Christian, it's just the reality of hip hop music in the early 90s.
Oh, so you thought this like aligned with basically how hip hop artists thought of
yeah,
women
it's sort of
in general?
Through a Christian filter.
A, yeah,
Christian
that's
flavor
actually,
of something
yeah.
that was happening. And
that's so true.
Because it is, yeah, and that's, again, that's going to be a hard thing for us to like contextualize in history is what part of this was part of mainstream? Like, oh man, there's super offensive, transphobic, homophobic jokes on Friends from like
yeah.
not that long ago. But if it was like a Christian sitcom, I think there are Christian sitcoms now, by the way.
Are there really?
I think Pure Flix, which is a movie studio behind a lot of Christian movies, has created the first, I think it's called Pumping the Brakes. And it's about a NASCAR driver. I could be getting
pumping
this wrong.
The brakes.
Yeah, we'll
I love
hitting
how
the brakes.
Christian like titles are inadvertently so dirty.
I don't see how that's dirty.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, no, no.
How did you feel hearing this message, Kevin?
I'm really uncomfortable anytime a man's like, a woman should do this. A woman should do that. She shouldn't do
rip.
This. She shouldn't do that. Which is Toby Max. And by the way, let's get a good hand on who all these people are. Because even for me growing up with it, it was confusing. Wait, the black
what?
One's not the rapper? You know, when I was like 13 years old. What? So Toby Mac, the rapper, Toby McKeon, he's the white guy. He's the one that's pretty much been the most successful and most consistent throughout the years.
He's still going.
Yeah, and he's going pretty, you know, he's got his own record label, mm-hmm. his albums do well.
He's the one with the goatee.
Yeah. And he seems the most stable. He's had, you know, the same marriage and
seems nice.
Kids. Yeah, he seems like a good dude. And he's the only one on the first...
Just so scared of women.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if he was married by this point or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So he's the only one that has songwriting credits on these songs. So the other two guys, Michael Tate is Seal, Kevin Max is Bono mixed with Sting.
Kevin Max. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
You get Bono mixed with Sting vibes?
Yes.
I'm looking right now.
It's a lot of look. Get ready for that.
Bono mixed with
Sting. Please Google these guys.
You see, they both have goatees in this photo, so this is really throwing me off here.
Sorry. McKeon has more of a narrow face, I'd say.
Sure.
Pointy.
Okay. They both kind of look pointy. I guess I'll never know.
All this is to say...
They're all wearing suits.
Toby White rapper, Michael Seal, and Kevin Bono Sting.
Yeah.
That'll be a good glossary to help us understand how to talk about these songs. Now, the song I was most familiar from this album was Jesus Is Just All Right, which is a cover of a Doobie Brothers song.
It made me so upset when I figured out.
When you found out there was a cover?
Yeah, because they performed it on all the like talk shows.
Could you play it with that intro? That intro's the cover? I love that little audio intro.
Oh, the...
No, that was a Sonic...
The Greer?
Oh, the Greer. Oh, yeah.
He says something right beforehand.
This is Greer. Hey, let me tell you something. I just heard the new Free at Last record by DC Talk. Hey, guess what, man? I think they sampled some stuff, but don't say anything. I heard some stuff on some of my old records that I think they picked. They may get in trouble. Bye.
So do we know who Greer is?
No, I thought you were going to tell us who Greer was.
I looked it up because I was like, oh, this guy sounds like, you know, like he's like very clearly like a 45-year-old pastor trying to be like famous, like, pastor. It feels like trying to be cool. Hey, listen, man, you know.
I thought it was Kevin Max doing a character.
Is it?
That's what I thought, too.
That's what I thought.
It sounded like a silly voice.
I think they play characters I think they play characters in some of the other skits.
So his character is Greer. It's one of Kevin Mack's best characters.
So it's his
Greer
Borat.
Is not a real artist that they're like admitting that they ripped off.
To me, it sounded like
universe.
In my mind, it was like people listening to this record in the 90s are going to know who Greer is, and it's like a really cool cameo
that they got Greer.
Buddy, it sounds like you got Greered.
Yeah.
Dude, you got Greered real
bad. Yeah, I sure did.
There's three music videos to come out of this album. Mm. One of which is Jesus Is Just All Right, which takes place entirely in the desert.
In a sepia desert.
And honestly, I love it. I think
it's fun.
The video is really fun and cool. The opening shots of the video, I love. It's people
flying.
They're flying in the air in slow motion.
It's like when they did Disney Channel movies. They're like a little intro.
Totally. Yeah, and it's Toby and Kevin and Michael all posing.
If you guys want to have a this really nice little 90s.
This is like
taste. Go ahead and look this up.
Like a Bill Nye the Science Guy rap video. Yeah!
Bill.
In the wide open desert. Oh, there's crosses. I don't think I noticed that.
You didn't notice the three huge crosses in the desert?
I was looking at Max.
Wait, do you think he's good looking here?
Objectively, yes.
He's the one that seems the most like troubled artist type. And actually the one that feels like the most outsider-y from the trio.
He's the only one I've seen play an instrument.
Right, he plays keyboards sometimes.
Sometimes, with an earring.
Right. I think the way Elvis plays the guitar, I believe that I failed to mention that. There's a lack of recognition.
The choreography is bizarre.
I think this song is excellent. I think it's good. And maybe because it is a cover.
Doobie Brothers song. I know. It's not their song.
Down with the One who is known as the
Just
Sun.
Just kidding. DC Talk can have good songs, but this is like their big song.
I mean, there's a history of bands making cover songs their own.
That is true.
I point you to the Beatles, Twist and Shout.
Oh, yeah. That's
which is the Isley Brothers, again.
Jeff Buckley. Hallelujah. Not his song.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Buckley-luya.
Yeah. Oh, we might get to that later. Yeah. Jesus Is Just All Right is a good song. But Gabe, you were saying before we recorded that there was one song that you might have had a little issue with.
Yes.
And I think I might have had a little issue with it too.
Quite a bit.
Okay. Which one is that? Can I take a guess? I'm gonna take a guess.
Go for it.
Play one.
Wait, give him something. Give him a little something. Go ahead, man. Break it down.
When you really break it down,
we're just two honks and a Negro serving the Lord. We're just two honks and a Negro singing our song.
We're just three honks.
Isn't it funny that you can't sing along to a DC Talk song?
Parents.
Okay, so that was from their appearance on Arsenio Hall.
They sang that?
Mm-hmm. That the guy saying, give him a little something. That's Arsenio. So there's video of this on YouTube, and Arsenio's just standing there grabbing his crotch and listening to them and kind of chuckling at them. Because they are so very sincere when they sing it.
I mean, it's supposed to be a funny song.
Yeah, I think they're having a little goof. Is the idea.
We're just two honks and a Negro serving the Lord.
Oh my gosh.
He's laughing at them.
We're just two honks.
He's just looking at them.
But look at their faces. They absolutely.
He points to Michael at one point.
Oh yeah, Kevin Max goes and XYZ.
Oh my God.
Fill in the blank.
And then points to him, yeah. To reiterate.
Just in case you weren't sure.
Which one of us?
If this album was released today, I think that might have not made the cut.
That might have been a problem.
Yeah.
For him.
But I imagine that the song about women would have totally passed.
I think that would still, passes in Christian culture for sure.
This is important to note. Yeah. They started an anti-racism foundation.
Erased.
Called Erase with a C.
Which is...
instead of an S.
Erasing racism and creating equality. E-R-A-C-E.
Did you guys look at their website? Still there.
Is it old?
It's hella old. Still has some flash going on.
Did they erase it?
No, it's still there. I was amazed. I think they did it.
Racism is still there, yeah.
I think we owe them a huge debt.
Wow.
It doesn't get talked about enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what DC Talk did.
Yeah. Here's one of
race relations.
By the way, this is one of the big paradoxes of CCM is that I do believe, after reading all this stuff the last couple weeks about Toby Mac and reading interviews with him, I believe he legit believes in this stuff. I believe sincerely believes in, like,
of course he does.
Racial reconciliation.
Yes.
And even in the movie, they go to Birmingham and he just talks about, you know, white people want to pretend this stuff didn't exist, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and he's
blah.
Like, we need to acknowledge our part in it or something.
Yeah, but he seems kind of trapped in hell because he is still the most famous rapper in Christian music. And it's him. So his label, like, they're big on having all kinds of
having
people
like
of color.
Having a diverse group.
Yeah, super diverse. And he's committed to it. And there's a bunch of songs in the DC Talk catalog before, previous, and post this about race, including one on this album.
I think I listened to it.
That
is it socially acceptable?
Socially acceptable. Is that the song you had an issue
yes,
with?
Yes, okay. I love that song.
Let's listen to the song Gabe loves.
I do not.
Socially acceptable.
He's being sarcastic.
Okay.
A bit of whoop.
Feel fresh.
Whoop.
I think the music throughout this album is good and fun, and I like it.
It's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listened to their rock stuff. Did not like the rock stuff later on.
Oh, no. The Jesus Freak Supernatural stuff.
I do like this album.
Yeah. They have a good NSYNC thing.
They're pulling, like,
sometimes
from every subgenre of late 80s and 90s rap and adding Jesus to it.
Yeah, and it feels like an appropriate culmination rather than, like, chasing something down.
Exactly. It feels...
synchronizing to society's ways.
Society has got to be all out of whack, and don't bother with excuses whether white or black. To blame it on a color won't get a result, because history reveals to me how ethics.
So there's one line in this song that really sticks out to me. It's human rights have made the wrongs okay. And what does he mean by that?
Human rights have made the wrongs okay.
Is he saying that human rights are bad? Human rights have made the wrong... times are changing with morals in decay. Human rights have made the wrongs okay.
Mm-hmm. That's probably exactly what you think it is.
Is that gay stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, right? Shit.
Because they're talking about how like ethics are sliding and morals are sliding, and these are
something's
some
missing.
Boys.
And if you're asking me, I think that something is the G-O-D, which is God spelled out.
Jod.
Right, Jod.
Jod.
We believe in Jod on Good Christian
Well, the
fun.
Thing that was confusing to me about this song too was like it starts out and you think it's going to be a song about racism, like they're top topic.
They're gonna get into it,
and then it just goes super broad, and like ethics are gone, morals are gone.
It is so vague,
and it's and they don't even really address racism.
Sort of terrifyingly vague.
There's a terror in how undefined
it is.
Way to put
it.
Toby's first rap verse is: "Society has gotten to be all out of whack, and don't bother with excuses, whether white or black. Don't blame it on a color, won't
all
get a
lives
result.
Matter, basically.
Because history really reveals to me how all lives matter." What?
Whoa!
Oh,
no.
But you know what? I think that might have been the tone and flavor. I don't know. Can three honks solve this tonight? That might have been the flavor of what racial equality meant in the early 90s, though.
I think you're giving him too much credit.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because I do feel like there's something in the generation before us of, we're all colorblind. A person's a
That's
person.
True, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Like,
and now it's
see
like
that.
There needs to be, there should be a celebration of difference.
Yeah, like,
and,
no, it exists. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and to be lauded and not just like, who cares? It's a person. I don't
treat
look
them
at
all the same.
Yeah, treat them all the yeah, which feels regressive in a different way.
Well, treating them the same is good.
No. I don't think
right.
so.
Yeah. Oh no. Okay.
Okay.
There's a great line here where it reveals that he doesn't know what a pun is. He says,
"Oh, I had that same note. Yeah. I had that same note.
I didn't catch this.
Go ahead
this.
And say it.
In reality, our decency has taken a plunge. In God we trust is an American pun.
In God we trust. So I think he means to say, in God we trust, no one respects it anymore. That's a joke.
Yeah,
right.
But it's not a pun.
Yeah, it's
Unless
not like,
there's
in
another
God
phrase
we bust.
That's just like that. Taking a plunge. We trust is on American pawn. Does anyone say in dogs we trust?
I do.
That'd be a pun.
Can you join the revolution?
That would be a pun.
In dogs we trust would be a pun. In dogs we trust, no way, no how. My God is my Lord, not bow wow wow, like something like that.
You know,
that
the DC, they're not.
That would have been good.
They're not been the Christian or the comedy talk, you know, they're just Christians. So they're not here to make the jokes.
What's the deal?
Dog comedy talk.
What's the deal with Jason Kars?
Now that's a band I'd listen to.
Lil Ruff. Okay, and then I think, let's round out the discussion.
Yeah, wait, Gabe, did you have more to say about this song?
Oh, they just say what the hey in this. I like that a lot.
They do say that. They
I
do
like
say what
it
the
was
hey.
Taboo back then, but today you say what the hey.
I've said what the hey before. I'll admit it. I'll go on record on this podcast. I've said what the hey.
All these morally irreprehensible people saying what the hey.
Just shrugging.
Yo, what the hey, man.
Give a hey. Why don't you give a hey instead?
Why don't you go to hey?
Hey, don't go to hey. Go to hey.
Listen to this podcast.
Ben, hey, listen. We're not going to make you go to church. It's good Christian fun. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the standout track.
Oh,
the album.
Mm-hmm.
Standout for many reasons. Another subgenre of the subgenre of contemporary Christian music, which is the abstinence anthem.
Purity songs.
Purity songs are a big deal.
Mm. Okay. We won't go all the way into purity culture in this. I think we should save that for I Kiss Dating Goodbye.
French Kiss Dating Goodbye. Continue.
But this is like purity culture in a bubble.
Yeah.
Along with the woman song.
Well, and it's clearly a rebuttal to another song. Right?
What other song? I Want Sex. Want it. Kevin.
It's the answer to a question, I guess, George Michael.
It's an answer
posed.
To a question that no one ever posed to the members of DC Talk. They make a Star Wars reference in the song, guys.
Let's listen to I Don't Want It. It's kind of silly.
Gabe, is this good music?
This one?
Yeah.
I mean, it does really all sound like that Paula Abdul song. Sort of.
MC Scat Cat.
That song
do, like,
was like a video game.
I like it. We on the beat that's straight from God and don't have sex or you die like that. Don't have sex till you have till you tie the knot. Was the he put his voice through a filter thing?
He doesn't want it.
I mean,
is that a part of
he
it?
He wants.
You're allowed to want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to want it. You should want it.
It should be, I shouldn't want it,
right.
But I do. The flesh and the spirit is a real battle. It should be more.
They do say less in the song. It's such a sexy song.
For
S-E-X.
I wish there was just women and men just moaning in the background throughout the whole.
So the only words they spell out is S-E-X and God.
Love spelling out God.
It sounds like they're showing off at this point. Yeah. Sex, S-E-X, God.
We get it. You went to college.
you went to Liberty University, where they only want you to spell out those two words. I love this like kind of character cutaway in the song. Listen to this.
Yeah, Red Leader, I don't think I copied that. Did you say you don't want sex for now? I'm confused. Could you clarify? Over.
They reference another song.
They say that it takes two to make a thing alright.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now what?
But girl, we gotta remember there's another in life.
Freaky three-way.
In God we.
Is an American pun.
Ha ha, hee hee, what a wordplay.
That is a Star Wars reference. A totally...
Red Leader.
Meaningless Star Wars reference.
Wait.
Unnecessary.
Wait, Red Leader is a Star Wars reference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red Leader.
Why?
It really,
why?
Well, just because they use the same mic effect as...
I mean, I said this before. I think this is just showing that they're really not getting... any
wait
proposition.
A minute. Wait a minute. Wait, Red Leader is like...
Yeah, remember when they're in the fighter... What are they called?
X-Wings?
Yeah, the X-Wing fighters.
X-Wing fighters, and they have like Yellow Leader, Red Leader. This is like Red Leader.
They're trying to bring down the Death Star with the proton torpedoes.
Teenage boys love DC talk, so I think this is a little something for the boys.
So, so they don't want SpaceX for now. They don't have sex in space.
You see, the Star Wars character is the one who's questioning, you don't want sex?
Oh, so they could be...
We're
up here in spaceships having sex all the time. That Christian rock, hip-hop rock rap band down there.
I'm tracking with this. This I understand.
I thought it was
confused.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish they
Red Leader's confused.
They should have doubled down. I'm not going to use the force on women or what. Like, they should have kept going with the not the dark side of her butt.
We must assume
Leia in that slave costume
Red 3
does
or Red
nothing
5.
For me.
What if they kind of peeked into other science fiction genres there?
This is Admiral Adama aboard the Battlestar Galactica.
Beam me up.
Don't want
G-O-D.
Sex. Oh, no. They don't want sex. They don't want it. Wait, they do go back to Red Leader at the end.
So this is all sort of loosely a part of the Star Wars canon, I think.
Yeah, this is extended universe. Okay, listen to this.
This was featured on episode 7.
Force Awakens.
Over the credits. What? Really?
Listen.
Your sex for now.
Oh my God.
Is that Darth Vader?
Red Leader, I don't think I copy. Okay, so whoever this
your
guy is is like, what do you mean you don't want sex?
So Red Leader. Oh, Red Leader is telling his fighters.
So this is Red 5 or Red 3. So Red Leader in this scenario is the one who doesn't want sex.
Okay.
No, but or Red Leader could be like, I don't want it. You guys, my other commandment to you, don't have it. And they're just confirming.
He says, that last line, what does that mean? Your sex for now.
Your sex.
I think your sex for now means let's wait till marriage.
Your sex.
To have sex.
It's like a Borat reference, I think.
But for now, I really don't want it. I don't think about it. I don't want no part of it.
I wrote a whole song about how much I don't want it.
It's like, oh, okay. Like, that would really rupture a relationship. That would make me... rethink things.
Yeah,
like
implode.
The
I don't
relationship, want your sex.
I'm just imagining
like
someone like on a date, slowly turning up this CD, like with their girlfriend.
Hey,
in the car.
Hey, Becca, real quick. I think we
no,
should listen to this.
No, just without intro. Just just silently listening to it. I play this song for my hubby all the time.
Oh my God. Wait, you say, I don't want your sex? Oh, and they follow it up with this, like, I think, parody song of
something.
Is
it another skit?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't listen to this?
I know.
Batteries not included. That rocks. That is good. That's a toy sketch about abstinence.
Yeah, it makes me think of
What do you think that toy looks like?
Oh, I think we know. It looks like a little X-wing that you can put batteries in.
The symbol of self-control.
Yeah, okay, let's get to our final thoughts.
Red leader.
About Free at Last. That Star Wars reference thing. Purity wing. That is good.
No sex
content,
wing.
Gabriel Gundecker.
No sex wing. Yeah. Wow.
No sex phone wing. We can do this all night. The Force Awakens, but my sexual appetite does not. We could. The Last Virgin Jedi.
Yeah.
Let's get to our final thoughts. So the way this works, Gabe, is we will talk about how we felt about the album overall, and then give it a holy toast and send it to heaven. Heaven-bound. Or we'll give it a holy roast and send it to hell. So, Caroline, why don't you start us off?
Oh, gosh. This album was fun, or it seemed fun, until you listen to the old words they're saying.
That, okay, go ahead.
And so I think due to the heavily misogynistic and racially questionable words and a Star Wars reference that was misplaced, I give this a holy roast.
Holy roast from Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I agree with you that the listening experience was great. I think Free at Last, the title track, is really fun. A gospel rave up thing. Mm-hmm. I basically like all the covers. Jesus Is Just All Right, Free at Last, Lean on Me. Lean on Me is okay. They didn't really do anything with it, I guess.
Oh, I totally disagree.
Really?
They did some incredibly interesting chord reimagining in the middle of... So cut to the middle of Lean on Me.
Okay.
And what they've done... might be a little before this, but they totally reimagine the chords.
They do?
And it's very interesting, yeah. It's like very... gospely and there's a woman who's singing. I don't know where it is, but it's and this is how
it
the
literally
song
sounds
is structured.
All the same. This one?
No, it must be before it. But I like Lean on Me. Is maybe my favorite track on it.
Really?
Next to something that's very frustrating is my favorite track on the album is also the most problematic.
Is socially acceptable or that kind of...
No, not socially acceptable. The other one.
That Kind of Girl.
That Kind of Girl.
That Kind of Girl is your favorite?
It's a great song. If it had different lyrics, that could have potentially been a pop song in the 90s.
Real quick, if you can rewrite what this song is about. Just a topic.
Maybe something like... something about Dagobah, you know, keep it about Star Wars.
But, keep it in the universe. Keep it in the universe. Yeah. Yeah.
Training with Yoda, that kind of master, I don't know.
He's that Jedi guy.
There is another.
Yeah.
Use the Force.
There is another. Leia's
your sister.
Yeah.
Luke, I like that
you
so much better.
You must use the Force.
Yeah. Will you write that?
Put up your communicator. Whatever.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry, so finish your review. Start your review. I don't think we've even started. Yeah.
We're mid review.
Okay.
You know, I wanna holy roast the very diverse and interesting musicianship happening. I think
you
a
mean
lot
holy toast.
A holy toast, yes. Sorry, yes. A roast is also...
If you're
roasting a pig, it's sort of positive.
Think but roasting
not for
in
the
hell.
Pig.
Okay.
Bad.
So I want to toast...
Gabe, I really want you to imagine roasting in hell.
Okay.
Just really picture
for
I'm there,
having...
yikes. Ouch.
Imagine
ouchie,
the temptations that got you there.
Ooh, ow.
Ow, burns.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For drinking, cursing like a sailor at the same time.
Toast is also a little roasted, though,
and
is it not?
Wanting a bite.
A
yeah,
piece of
but
toast?
just the right amount to where it's golden.
That's true.
Right?
Nobody is
Luke
golden
warm?
In hell.
Luke, I'm your father warm. No one's golden in hell.
That's a pun.
What?
Luke, I am your father. Warm.
I don't know.
You know, Gabe, Luke Warm Skywalker was my screen name on StarWars.com.
Is that true? Is that true?
In 1998 when I had an account on StarWars.com, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you guys so much.
That was a long waiting list to get one of those accounts.
I used to go every day and read the synopses of characters that no one cared about. Greedo would look around his past. Huge Star Wars fan.
I bet you know a lot.
I would have loved that reference. If I was forced to listen to DC Talk, I would have loved that reference.
You've been like, all right.
They got me. I'll never have sex ever.
By the way, we didn't mention this, but in their biography or in some of their articles, they would talk how they'd invite like the teenage boys, and instead of groupies, the teenage boys would come to the bus
and play video games.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you were right in that demographic.
Terrifying.
It's too bad.
So let's toast the music and roast the lyrics.
Amen.
Toast the music, roast the lyrics. But if you had to choose one, which would you choose?
It's going
to
be a roast.
It's going to be a roast. All right. Listen, I think I had a similar experience to Caroline in this, where I wholly enjoyed, with a W, not with an H, wholly enjoyed the album. Start to finish, really, like even the dumb skits, I found to be kind of charming. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the skits are never the best part of anyone's album, right? But these were like they clearly made an effort to stitch them together. And I'm like patting them on the head. They did great out there.
So good. I'm so smart and proud of them.
But it is one of those things where I listened to this album for the first time all the way through without looking at the lyrics, maybe two or three times. And then when I started reading the lyrics, I was like, uh-oh. So nonetheless, I think my nostalgic attachment to Jesus Is Just All Right, Love Is a Verb. Oh, and the hard way, the prison anthem that we didn't even talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Some people got to learn it the hard way. And there is a music video of the three boys posing at a real prison and, you know, throwing their hands up and looking very contrite. I'm giving it a holy toast, guys. Wow. Despite that, I do not endorse the problematicness, especially anyone who would say two honks on a you know what. I would never
or sing it.
Endorse that ever. No. But I'm giving it a holy toast. However, I've been outruled by my co-host and my guest. So we're sending Free at Last to hell. But we want to know how you feel out there, podcast listeners. So we're putting up the poll today. We'll keep it open for the next week. Do you give Free at Last by DC Talk a holy toast or holy roast? Vote on Twitter.
Yeah. Or just send your apologetics for this album.
Send your apologetics? Like a theological breakdown of
defend
like
it.
An exegetical study of that kind of girl, which is a good sounding song.
Yeah.
But not a good meaning song.
Yes.
I want to close out this segment. We got to take a break, but I want to close out this segment by looking into the future. Gabe, you said that you listened to a little bit of their rock stuff from the next album, Jesus Freak. Jesus Freak, that song and that album would turn out to be their biggest hit by far.
Wow.
More so than anything that they did before and definitely since they've done since. So I want to play a little snippet of it.
It's you gotta be kidding me.
What?
This is insane.
What?
That they're this permeable. This is their next album? Is
I mean,
Kurt Cobain?
Well, wait, you think it sounds like Kurt Cobain?
Yeah.
It sounds like they're like chasing after a grunge sound?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, let's listen to that exact same clip again.
Oh my God.
I mean,
it's like a Nirvana musical.
It's the same song.
They're playing very well together.
Yeah. Actually, they weirdly compliment each other.
Did you say maybe it's a copy a little bit?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it lined up exactly with the chorus and everything, maybe, but I'm not sure if the...
Gosh.
This makes me almost take back my compliments of the hip, the rap music.
Great musically they were.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Now, Gabe, we have a segment on this show that we started last week, and we're going to continue to this week, and it's something we're going to call The Hunt for the Worst Christian Song of All Time.
The worst!
Here's how it works.
Wow, you have a theme song now. I like it.
We're going to pick... Well, we actually did pick last week what we thought was the worst Christian song of all time. We're going to challenge that pick with a new pick, and then we're going to pit them against each other, and then we vote in the room, is this which one is actually the worst Christian song of all time? Oh, and then okay. the next time we do this segment, whoever is the champion of this will get challenged again, and so on and so forth.
I see.
So, the current champion of the worst Christian song of all time is a song called Cartoons by Chris Rice. I'll play a little bit for you, Gabe.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, what if cartoons got saved? They start singing praise in a whole new way. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Our poor fans. Our poor listeners.
Sing Yabba Dabba Luya.
Is so this is for the best Christian song of all time?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. For the worst Christian song.
Okay, because this right now this feels like the best Christian song I've ever heard.
And so on and so forth.
It was fun to watch you experience that for the first time.
I love it.
As it dawns upon you. Oh, but it gets better.
The
from
sincerity
here.
Is amazing.
And it really is just like, it feels like Chris Rice's SNL audition reel, right?
Yeah.
Elmer Fudd's my favorite.
Because his impressions aren't bad. Here's Caroline's favorite.
But I like that the audience screams every time.
Yeah, he did it! He did the impression. Although, I really want to drive this point home, which we didn't really do the last time.
How about Beavis and that other guy?
Nah. Yeah, no,
those guys.
Not okay.
I wasn't allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis, but to be clear, in this song, Chris Rice is saying, no, Beavis and Butthead will not be
off
saved.
Limits.
They will go to hell. Mm-hmm. I, Chris Rice, hereby declare.
And you can't say but. You don't say but.
Beavis and that other guy.
That other guy.
They are not elected
that
to be a vessel
head.
Of mercy. All right, so that is our current contender for the worst Christian the worst Christian song of all time. Hallelujah, indeed. So our new nominee, this came in actually from several listeners. We put the call out to you, dear listeners. Give us your nomination for the worst Christian song of all time. And I think more than five or six people said this song. And this song is a little song. It's probably Walt Jr.'s favorite song. It's called Breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
By the Newsboys. I'm going to text you guys the lyrics so you can follow along.
Hold the milk, put back the sugar. The palace to console. We gathered here to sprinkle ashes from our late free cereal bowl. Breakfast Club has said the motto that he taught us to repeat. You will lose it in your gym class if you wait till noon to eat. Back when the chess club said our eggs were soft. Every Monday, it's a grace and hold our juice aloft. Anonymous knew his checkout time would come so soon.
My gosh.
But before his brain stopped waving, he composed.
Oh my gosh.
When the toast is burned and all the milk has turned and Captain Crunch is waving farewell. When the big one finds you, may the song remind you that they don't serve breakfast in hell.
All right, guys. So, this is a song about a guy who died who loved breakfast.
Oh my gosh.
And he's going to hell?
Well, no, I think he's not going to hell, is what I got from it.
That's right.
How do you cope?
For this morning, we don't mourn like those who have no hope. I rise up, Fruit Loop lovers.
Rise up, Fruit Loop lovers. Sing out sweet and low. With spoons held high, we bid our brother cheerio.
What?
This is so abstract.
It's
hard to pin
the intent.
Yeah.
So basically, a guy died. He loved breakfast.
Well, see, that's already it's so. Who pits the song? I mean, this would make sense if maybe the Newsboys were on their maybe like 80th album, like Frank Zappa. You know, it's like, okay, we've written literally every song. So here's a new idea.
It seems like a song lyric generator was like, yeah. Breakfast, dead guy, hell. Okay, let's do it.
To the tune of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, is this a Hootie song?
If it were a Sega video game, kind of.
It's a happy song.
Well, okay, so wow, did you know this song as a kid?
Yes, I sang this song so much. I never listened to the verse about the friend dying. Now, at first, I thought they were going to say, like, oh, this friend went to hell. But it was just more like he was eating breakfast and he composed kind of a drinking song, but for breakfast time.
That's what I thought it was when I was a kid, too.
It's just so strange. It could have been anything. You know, this guy died and he loved ivory. And then we're going to sing about ivory.
Item yeah. would have maybe been better.
He loves picture frames or
Oceans.
Oceans 11. He loves Oceans 11.
He loves dancing.
There's no George Clooney in hell.
There's really no reason that it's breakfast. That's what baffles me so.
Again, if you think about how much teenage boys love breakfast.
That's true.
It does hit home in
it
a
all
really...
It comes back to teenage boys.
Most CCM does. So, you have to think that maybe they reverse engineered it. Peter Furler, the then current lead singer of the Newsboys,
right,
and primary songwriter, we all know this. You have to wonder if he reverse engineered it. He was like, "Fellas, I got all these breakfast puns." He's Australian. "Fellas, I got all these breakfast puns."
You sound like
about hell,
Ringo.
But don't know what came first. But it is a very sing-songy. It was a youth group hit, apparently.
Oh,
we
yeah.
both know it.
Oh, yeah.
But I only know the chorus. Because Furler's singing style is... It's almost like a character.
Yeah.
It's not like he's singing with his pure voice. It's like when country singers put on a twang or something else. But there's something else going on in this song. So that's Breakfast by
the
Newsboys.
It's like Mambo Number 5 kind of style singing. Ah!
And the toast will find you. Is that right?
What does
the song remind
that day
you?
He bought those pine pajamas, his check was good with God.
I can't make heads or tails of that. That sounds like a...
That day he bought those pine pajamas, his check was good with God.
Breakfast clubbers drop the hanky, though to some are
pine pajamas, is that a metaphor for the cross?
That's what I was wondering.
Ooh,
what?
Good goodness.
Wait, the day he bought the... Okay, breakfast clubbers dropped the hanky, though to some our friend was odd.
It's about Jesus. Is this Jesus?
Is it Jesus?
Oh, but...
the day he bought
those.
Maybe he bought those of like, we bought into it. Like, I accepted that pine...
Pine pajamas is the is like the most cynical metaphor for crucifixion.
Yeah, it's not like Jesus put the cross... on.
I think it also he's using pajamas because this is all within the breakfast metaphor.
Oh, so it's like you're watching.
What's the easiest way to talk about the cross as related to morning time?
Speaking of teenage boys, the two contenders for the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time are cartoons and breakfast. So there does seem to be
a theme here. Yeah.
Girls like cartoons and breakfast too.
Oh, sure. No, I would never. Powerpuff Girls is amazing. I love it.
Apples. Girls are apples. Apples you have at breakfast.
Yeah. They make you bite them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You guys love them apples.
Guys, what do we say is the worst Christian song of all time this week?
Mm.
Is it breakfast or is it cartoons?
I like the cartoon song.
I feel a Stockholm syndrome-ness with it. By the way, saying words and adding luya to them, I can't recommend enough. Carolina luya, Gabe luya,
breakfast luya.
So I'm torn here because I do want the the next person on this podcast to listen to
cartoons.
Cartoons. But I do think that Serial is a way worse song because there's no joy in it. And he compares a crucifix, a torture, a murder, to pajamas.
To a...
Are we sure
that's... kind of like a chafing pajama.
But then that would make the friend God.
Jesus.
No, he's saying, like, he bought into the crucifixion.
Though our friend was odd, though Jesus was odd.
Uh-huh. No, I think it's the serial friend.
But is what is the serial
Let's
friend
go to Reddit,
Jesus?
Guys. Let's figure this out.
No, okay. Though Summer thought our friends was... The day he bought those pine pajamas, his check was good with God. Well, Jesus didn't need to settle a check with God.
Can we go back to Breakfast Clubbers dropped the hanky? What does this mean?
That seems like...
I think they were crying and they were so upset they dropped their hankies. Right?
Oh, right. Because we were all the Breakfast Clubbers because we were hanging out with him.
Jesus.
I don't think it's Jesus. I think it's our brother Cheerio.
Though to some, our friend was odd. Would be like people didn't know what to make of Jesus. He was was an interesting.
People didn't know what to make of our breakfast loving friend who loved Jesus
because he was Jesus.
No, he's not Jesus. Listeners, back me up. Well, tweet at Kevin and Gabe how freaking wrong they are. Read these lyrics.
Their friend was super mentally ill, and he's like, "Guys, I'm Jesus." They're like, "Okay, buddy." So it's both.
Captain Crunch.
It's both.
Captain Crunch is waving farewell. Okay, what's another person in the Bible whose name also has the same two letters? Pontius Pilate.
Captain
Crunch.
Wait,
is Pontius Pilate.
No.
This is Jesus.
Wait a minute.
There you go.
This.
There it all is. When the toast has burned and the milk has turned, this is after
The crucifixion.
Last supper.
No, the burning in hell.
Oh,
no,
wait.
The burning in hell.
Toast is burned, the milk is turned.
And Captain Crunch punches Pilate.
That's the Last Supper. Captain Crunch is punches Pilate.
Captain when Crunch the is waving farewell.
Okay, and when the big one finds you.
The Emperor of Rome.
I thought that was death.
That's good. Yeah, okay.
The big one is capitalized, like, I think that means God.
Yeah, that's God for sure.
That's God.
Or General
Slash
Mills.
Death.
They don't serve breakfast
no,
in hell.
It's the lady from the Honey Bunches of Oats commercials. Yeah.
Breakfast Clubbers drop the hanky to give us like a butt view?
Oh, rise up fruit and lovers, sing out sweet
no,
and low.
The Breakfast Clubbers aren't like giving...
I like hold the milk, put back the sugar. They are powerless to console. I thought that was poignant.
So this song, there's a lot more to break down in this song.
It's more than complicated than cartoons.
I'm ready, alleluia.
Right.
SpongeBob, whatever.
Yeah. What's another catchphrase?
Yeah, there's...
Norm-alluia.
Norm-alluia.
Captain Crunch-alluia.
Mm-hmm. But this
Bazing-alluia.
Has... this has layers. Like, we are legit
it's
concerned.
Fascinating.
Like, I need...
So
I got angry
that,
about
is
it.
Is that better or worse, though?
Better. I think this is poetry.
Yeah. I'm still in this. I'll be in this for days.
All right. So we're voting cartoons. Keeps the title.
I don't think cartoons will ever
Dear
win.
Listeners, I'm so sorry that, that next time you'll have to listen to this a third time in a row. So many of you tweeted how hard this was for you to hear that song again.
Well, yeah, that is one thing I underestimated.
I'm so sorry.
Is how triggering it would be for people. Because it was, I remember
was
someone reminded me of it weeks before we started this show. It was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Okay, so we're saying, yep, Breakfast, you're not the worst Christian song of all time.
Cartoons stays.
Cartoons by Chris Rice stays the worst Christian song of all time. Time we do this segment.
Oh no!
Ooh! Oh my gosh! Okay,
Gabe, thank you.
Yeah, this was great.
Absolutely.
You brought a lot to the table,
and
really
I learned a lot
appreciate
at the table.
It. Yeah, did you?
Yes.
At the Last Supper table?
Table. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either one. Breakfast table.
Gabe Alleluia, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Gabe Alleluia.
Gabe Alleluia. Sing out sweet and low.
Cheerio. If you die before this podcast comes out.
Do you want us to sing this at your funeral?
Would that be cool?
No.
Now it's time.
My family will be there.
Right. But we'll talk. We'll make sure it's totally cool.
Red
okay.
Leader.
If you run it by my family beforehand.
Who are you closest with in your family, just so we know?
My
Who's your favorite?
Who's my favorite? I guess.
Might not be the same answer.
My parents, very close with both of them.
All right.
My mother, I talked to her more on the phone though. So yeah, you'd probably run it by her.
We'll run it by your mom.
She'd be running the service anyway.
Sure. I think whatever happens, we're going to say, Red Leader, you may take Gabe now.
Do you think your mom would do backing vocals on Breakfast if we asked her to?
She would. She would learn it.
Is she a good singer?
Mm-hmm. If you convince her that it was really important to me.
Oh, she loves you so much. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Wow. Now it's time for what might be the most important part of the show. Let's take it down. We're not here to plug our projects and plug what we're enjoying in pop culture. We're here to lift it up. So, Caroline, we'll start with you. What do you want to lift up?
Yes, Lord. Sorry, I feel blasphemous saying that. I love God. this week, I would love to lift up my Twitter at @totemspiritwolf. I would also like to lift up Rihanna's latest fashion line. It's Fenty Puma. It's fall Fenty season Puma. 2018.
Yes, Lord.
I just want to lift that up and let that be successful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Beating that drum.
Thank you.
All right.
Popcorn Kevin.
Just piggybacking off of that, I want to lift up at Kevin T. Porter on all the platforms.
This
Twitter,
feels so bad.
Instagram. It shouldn't.
It feels so bad.
It's okay.
Okay. It's just guitar. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not sacred.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, music isn't inherently sacred. So I want to lift
except
up.
Except for.
Yeah, except for cartoons.
I'm sorry.
Lift up at Kevin T. Porter. Honestly, I want to lift up Catastrophe Season 3.
Amen.
Been joining that a lot. Rob Delaney, Sharon Horgan.
Love them.
I think they have the best rom-com chemistry I've seen in years. So just want to echo that and lift that up.
Yeah, may that chemistry continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe?
And Lord the Great Cereal Bowl in the Sky. I want to lift up at Gabe Gundacker at Twitter. But I also want to remember that on Instagram, it's at Gabriel.Gundacker.
Which is different.
Which is very different. Yeah. And yet not less important.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I also want to lift up Nespresso.
Ooh.
Which I've been drinking a lot lately, and also the Movie Pass, $10 a month. It's really great.
Isn't there?
I'm not getting paid by either of these people, Lord. I just love them so much.
It does feel like branded content, but we'll let it slip. Wait,
branded sacrilege?
Sure.
Oh gosh.
Movie Pass. I used to, you know what, Gabe? I want to echo that because I used to be a Movie Pass member, and they do have excellent rates.
In closing, Lord, please forgive us. Everything.
And you can follow us and forgive us.
Please.
At Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com / Christian Fun Pod. Yeah. You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, the artist formerly known as iTunes. For every rating and review you give, we're donating a dollar this month to a Hurricane Harvey charity, the Texas Diaper Bank.
Diapers
full
baby.
Of love.
I got a diaper.
Diapers.
Full of love.
And give us an email, goodchristianfun@gmail.com.
Love your emails, by the way.
Your emails, I will say, sincerely, your emails have been very encouraging.
Seriously.
People reaching out and connecting, people of all faiths and non-faiths and people at different points in their life. It's been amazing to read.
And hearing
it's
been your stories. It's cool.
We're three episodes in and it's already like phenomenal.
Knock on pine pajamas though.
All right. Well, I think that's the best way to end this show.
Yep.
And let's end it the way we always end it. And all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. Oh, yeah.
Broccoli, celery, gotta be VeggieTales. We're diving into the hit animated series with its inaugural video, Where's God When I'm Scared, which you can find in its entirety for free on YouTube. That's next week on Good Christian Fun.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.